No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed, for another edition of Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. You know, last week we had Keith and Clay fill in. Two people had to fill the space of you.
Is that a comment about my weight?
No, no, it's not. It's just... I just got a demerit, didn't I? No, that was not a comment about your weight.
I know.
The power, the information that you bring to the table, you know, takes up the space of two folks. Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, they say two brains are better than one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Take it that way. anyway, we got some cool stuff to talk about today. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to delve into the Angel Flight program.
Yeah.
Which you guys have done stuff with that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we have.
So we'll tell you all about that here in just a bit. But before we do, you know, we've been covering a little bit of Abington Welch's travels across the Pacific. She delivers
Bonanza.
Bonanza, yeah, to Indonesia. Did mm-hmm. I get that right? Yeah, mm-hmm. finally. And I've been tracking her progress. She has that text thing, that DeLorean thing. DeLorme, right?
DeLorme.
I did text her, and I said, hey, be careful out there. You know, as soon as you hit 88 miles per hour, all bets are off what what year you're going to pop up in. And, you know, she laughed. Ha, ha. You silly. Anyway, but it's kind of neat that, you know, she was flying across the Pacific over water in the middle of nowhere. When you look at her little icon on the map, and knowing that you're texting back and forth, that's pretty wild.
That is.
That is cool technology for sure. But, you know, I just did that a little bit. I figure she had more important things to do than, you know, text back with her goofy friends here at Just Plain Radio. And I thought that I would just kind of check in with Facebook and see her post, because she's very active online, mm-hmm. as those who follow her know. And, you know, she's been posting little pictures and selfies and things like that. She's literally surrounded with fuel tanks in this Bonanza. Did you see any of those?
No, I hadn't had time to look at it.
It's kind of wild, the selfies she's taken, you know, because she's like, okay, halfway through a 14-hour flight, solo flight across water over to, you know, Australia, and next stop here, blah, 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 you know. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. And then I see some other posts. One in particular where she had like a, and we got to talk to her about this, but I want to get your thoughts about this, Ed. She had a, like a sprayer, like a bug sprayer or a weed sprayer you'd pick up at Home Depot and use to edge your fence or something with chemicals or spray bugs with, but it was filled with oil.
Oil?
Yeah. And she had literally a tank of oil in one of these sprayer-type bottles, I guess under pressure, I don't know, that was hooked directly up to the engine. And so, and I saw some of the thread of her answering questions about this picture, mm-hmm. because it showed this big, you know, spray bottle of oil, and she'd say when the pressure, oil pressure went low or the temperature went up and oil pressure went low, she would know that was the time that she needed to feed the engine more oil. And on like a 14-hour flight, she's doing this midair and doing it from the cockpit like that.
Well, that makes sense because the engine will use oil.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And,
but that's not typical, is it?
Yeah.
Use a sprayer?
Well, no. What she's doing is not typical. But you're not looking at one leg being that long. You're doing, you know, a couple hours here and a couple hours there. And
yeah.
You check the oil. Time to add a quart. Let's add a quart. You know, you call the line guys over. They bring the oil. They dump it in. And you're off and going.
Okay.
Because you're not flying that long of a distance or for that long a period of time.
Right. But when you're flying that long, you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And but I'm guessing this technique that she used I'm guessing this is like a cheap and easy fix or something. That would be kind of a unique thing.
All those fuel tanks and that, I'm sure, are the to ferry an airplane over a large body of water, you need to have all that in place. And I'm sure that there was a company that pulled the seats out, mm-hmm. outfitted the airplane with the extra tanks and this oil system, so that when they get it over there, all that stuff will be removed, shipped back. And the seats will be put in.
Right.
And so I'm sure that the company that sets it up for export and prepares it for export it has these systems all figured out and put in. So it makes sense why she's doing it.
Yeah.
That on that long of a leg, you would be burning probably a quart, maybe 2 quarts of oil.
Yeah.
And you need to add it back in.
Well, the question was, how do you know when to add the oil? And she said, well, when the engine temperature goes red or goes warm or hot, mm-hmm. and the pressure goes low, I know that's time to add oil.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't even have to check the dipstick. And I'm like, well, why are we even bothering? That is just genius. That's all I have to do?
No. We're supposed to avoid that happening.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to.
But we also have the option of the fact that we're only flying an hour or two here or there,
yeah.
that we check it before we leave. We check it when we stop. Every mm-hmm. time we stop for our hamburgers,
yeah.
the one thing I tell you is check the fluids, check the oil, check the fuel, mm-hmm. make sure it's all still there.
Yeah, but if you had one of those spray bottles in the cockpit with you and you ever had that problem, I can just give it a push, plunger that thing down, and you're good to go. That'll do us till we get back to Orlando. No? You don't like this? I thought it was an ingenious idea.
It's a great idea, and yeah. it's a necessary idea on those type of flights. But it's not going to be a wide.
It's not an
implemented
ideal
situation for most training aircraft.
Okay, especially the ones
airplanes.
That you're training in.
Yeah,
you won't allow such nonsense, is what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm just saying it's not needed.
Got it. But that is a cool gig she's got going on,
yeah.
isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I mean, she's having the time of her life.
Yeah.
And she's shooting these little selfies, and people are following her progress. And you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, and just do a Google search on Abington Welch
mm-hmm.
from the Abington Watch Company. And you can get connected with Abington. And we'll talk to her here in a week or two.
Yep.
Once she gets through all this stuff and find out how exactly did she hold it for 14 hours straight? That kind of thing. What kind of devices
well,
did she
why
use?
Why didn't you just ask that on the online?
I figured, that was one of those questions where, would you really want to get that when you're in the plane in the middle of a flight? Because then it would remind you, like, oh, God, it'd be like someone running, water when you really have to go. You know what I'm saying? I would think you wouldn't want to be reminded.
Okay, one of the things, you're up at a higher altitude, right?
Yeah.
And so the air is drier, right?
Okay, sure.
What's that going to do to your hydration?
It's going to diminish it.
So what do you have to do to keep yourself alert and not get, because when you get dehydrated, you get a little punchy.
Right, right.
So you got to drink a lot of what?
Fluids.
And guess what you have to do after you drink a lot of fluids?
Expel them.
Yes.
Out the window?
I am sure that there is a provision made, and I think that's as far as we need to go.
I'm guessing that tube that goes from that sprayer bottle of oil to the engine, maybe there's a two-way valve on that thing.
There's a line. There's a line. Let's not cross it.
Yeah, well, we crossed that a long time ago. But anyway, we'll find out what's going on with Abington and some of the stuff. But the technology of being able to do that, I watch and I'm just thinking, wow, that would be cool. That'd be something neat to mark off the list. Like I'm going to go deliver a plane halfway around the world.
That would be cool.
Have you ever done any of that kind of
No, not that long. That long.
Just... Now, Keith said that he has done some plane delivery, but you haven't done that?
Oh, I've done plane deliveries, but not internationally.
Oh, okay. All right.
So domestically.
Well, yeah, right. You don't even have your passport. How could you possibly do that?
I have a passport. It's just not current.
Well, okay. Well, so how are you supposed to deliver a plane internationally if it's not current? You got to be ready.
I don't have a plan to do that.
Well, I mean, is this like a regular gig or?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, she does that on a regular basis.
Well, I know she does.
There are people
that
specialize in that.
Yeah, but you guys have been called to do that here every once in a while, right? Yeah, it just kind of pops up on the middle. Well, last year we had one, and I couldn't go.
Keith, well, that's a pretty rare situation, but that was California. I know it seems like a foreign country, but it's really not a foreign country.
Well, I know, but still, you have to be ready to go and have the flexibility to go deliver a plane. Here in Florida.
I've got so much to do, I don't need to leave Orlando Executive Airport.
Well, see, that's why we got to get my certificate. Then maybe that would be a side gig for me.
Well, you'd have to get an instrument rating commercial certificate and then get a lot of flight experience before they'd let you do that.
Okay.
All it takes is money.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
That's what makes an airplane fly.
What about credit? How about bad credit?
Nah, that won't work.
Okay. Well, we got some cool stuff to talk about. Like I said, we're going to talk to this guy from Angel Flight. Mm-hmm. Also, AOPA has released their fly-in dates. We talked about that a little bit last week. But they also have some new updated information on flying to warm places like the Caribbean and potentially Cuba. We'll get into that and much, much more today on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying away, is that a bad thing?
Only if you're a human being. Fly away, dance all night, sing all day. I've grown
these wings so I can fly away. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is a website to go to and learn how to fly with Ed and Keith. They could be your flight instructors, and they could be training you like they're kind of training me. I'm the perpetual flight student in training, or who knows. Long story, short show. So we'll move on to other stuff. We got actually Steve Perrello, who is the CEO of Angel Flight Southeast, with us right now. Steve, welcome to Just Plane Radio. How are you, buddy?
Thank you very much. I'm great.
Now, tell us about exactly what you guys do there at Angel Flight. And by the way, we're in Orlando, and you guys cover Florida and where else as far as your division of Angel Flight?
Yeah, we've got Florida, the Bahamas, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, and we belong to the nationwide air charity network so that we can partner up with other organizations to bring patients longer distances when they need to go long distances.
Very nice. Now, Angel Flight, from what I understand, is a network of pilots that have agreed to fly folks that need to be flown for medical reasons or different charitable type of situations. Is that it in a nutshell or what?
That's pretty good. Yeah. So I'm one of 650 volunteer pilots in our organization. And as a pilot, we donate our time, our fuel, and our airplane to be able to fly people when they have to go long distances for medical help. There's just no cure for whatever unusual disease that they have within hundreds of miles. Mm. And, you know, these are chronic diseases, not something that's just acute where we're picking them up from an accident, but they've got some unusual cancer or need to get, strange operations, things that often we can't even pronounce. And they've got to go there 20, 30, you know, maybe 50 times to be able to get the help they need. And our pilots will pick them up at their closest general aviation airport and bring them there. Often, you know, even wait while they get their appointment, whether it's, you know, that that chemotherapy or some other sort of treatment, and fly them home so that they're back in their bed the same night, hopefully even before they start, you know, feeling the ill effects of whatever they had gotten.
Right. And you guys help coordinate the flight plan and the network of pilots, I assume, help with the logistics. Is that right?
We do. You know, we're answering those phones. Our care traffic controllers, as we call them, are answering those phones 24 hours a day. And literally, you know, number of times those calls will come in the middle of the night. The office has a book of literally 35 or 36 people right now that are waiting for a heart or a liver, a kidney, a lung, maybe even two lungs. Hmm. And, you know, they're calls that come in at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and our pilots will spring into action. And frankly, they need to, because they generally only give about 3 hours in which to be able to get that patient to that organ. Otherwise, they will lose the opportunity to get that organ.
Mm, wow. Okay. I mean, it's pretty cool stuff what you guys have done. And it's an organization that a lot of people want to be a part of. Yeah. I know, Ed and Keith, you guys have done some stuff with them.
We've done some stuff, and we help support a fundraising event at the Executive Airport that Angel Flight Southeast is a sponsor of, the Airport 5K, and we're active in that, and a number of our customers have used our airplanes for it, and I do a lot of recurrency training with people that fly for Angel Flight as well. Probably one of your bigger pilots as far as volume, Steve High and I fly together all the time. I keep him current.
Sure.
So, yeah, that well familiar with what they do, and it's a great organization.
Yeah, and I'm guessing operating expenses, just you know, the paperwork and trying to keep the logistics is one thing, but you got to figure out how to cover landing fees if you're going into another country, and fuel and stuff like that. Is that what some of the things you got to take into consideration, or what, Steve?
Very much. You know, other than Bahamas, we do just fly within the U.S., but we do keep up the relationships with the FBOs at each of the airports and negotiate with them, and they're very generous, but they'll give us fuel discounts and, you know, waive ramp fees, and we're continually working with the FAA to be able to get, you know, any opportunity, shortcut, and make things as easy as possible for our volunteers, to, you know, pilots to be able to fly.
Nice. Now, I know you got a program planned for Sun and Fun where you're doing a raffle or something to be able to fly with an acrobatic team or something. Am I right? Is it, I believe it, is it Aeroshell? Is that what I read?
Exactly. The Aeroshell aerobatic team is going to be performing at Sun and Fun. Pilot Mall had given us a ticket to be able to be one of the seats in one of those aerobatic airplanes.
Nice.
And fly with the four airplane team in Sun and Fun. So we're raffling that off between now and, I believe we were going to do it through March 25th. So we gave a little bit of time for the winner to be able to make plans to fly in and take advantage of that flight. That's a big thing. I don't think I've ever heard of a civilian, so to speak, having an opportunity to get into one of those airplanes.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, and that's a raffle that you can get in on, what, through the Angel Flight Southeast website, maybe, or do you know?
Absolutely. At Angel Flight SE for Southeast, angelflightse.org/events. And tickets are available for just $20, and there's some volume discounts where you can get 6 for 20 and I think 13 for 200.
Great cause, great raffle, great prize. you got to love that. It's a win-win-win right there. Now, what about if a pilot listening right now would want to help out and be one of these Angel Flight pilots? What are you looking for exactly? A certain amount of hours or what?
We are, and I'm so glad you asked, and I'm so glad that you gave us the opportunity to speak on the radio. And we're in a situation nationwide where we're really looking. Pilots are getting older. Pilots are losing medicals. Sometimes they're passing away. The economy and fuel prices up until at least, you know, very recently have been challenging. And we've had to really look around and try to fill in and find new pilots to fill in for some of these guys who flew an awful lot. The requirements are not overly burdensome. A VFR ticket is just fine in Florida. Some of the other states, we will require an instrument rating, but 250 hours PIC time will be able to be enough to qualify you as an Angel Flight pilot.
That's good. That's the same level of flying experience as a commercial pilot, even though they're not commercial pilots. Hmm. So it's not like you could get your certificate and then turn around and go do this. You'd have to gain some pilot command experience.
Okay. My 108 hours of flight training don't count at all?
Basically, technically the solo time does, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. Well, I tried. Steve, it's going to take a while for me to help out, but Ed and Keith will fill in for me. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be a cool thing to do. I have no doubt. You talk to folks that participate in this program, and the pilots that I have talked to are very enthusiastic about it and seem to get as much out of it as the giving part of it. Now, I'm sure that's pretty universal. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, most pilots will tell you as soon as they do their first flight, they're hooked. And to be able to do something we love anyway, looking for any excuse to get up in the air, well, what a great excuse, you know, to be able to turn around and help someone else.
AngelFlightMessage.org is the website you go to.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so the $100 hamburger has been adjusted for inflation. And we've covered this before and said it's at least a $200 hamburger. Well, Lightspeed has come along and announced a $500 hamburger.
Better be a real good hamburger for $500.
Well, you know, maybe it's one of those Five Guy things or something, or with bacon and I don't know.
No, I'm sorry, Five Guys is not worth $500.
Well, that's true. I would agree with that, Ian, but they're great hamburgers. But
now, the Tomahawk Grill in Tallahassee, they got some $500 hamburgers.
Do
they? Oh, they're good.
Okay. Well, anyway, in this case, Lightspeed has put together a promotion. And maybe they just didn't think a $200 hamburger, $100 hamburger would have enough juice to it. So they've bumped it up.
What are they giving?
Well, they're giving you a chance to win a flying adventure, a $500 hamburger. So you get, your food, $100 for dining, $100 rental car, $150 for lodging, $150 for avgas. And a flight bag, a $200 flight bag. I don't know where the $500 that
adds up more than that, doesn't it?
Wait, yeah. Let's see. Well, okay, they're throwing in the flight bag is free,
oh.
But that has a $200 value. So you can go to Lightspeed and look for the promotion that's going now through February 26th. But basically, whenever you register your new Lightspeed headset, you can get in on.
When
does
it start?
It started January 9th. Well, you bought one. You bought yours before that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you buy another one.
No.
You never can have too many.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
You guys have been doing...
One's enough.
You've been doing a lot of, upgrades there at the flight school.
Yeah.
Sucking the funds out of you? Is that
yeah,
the
we
deal?
Did some remodeling and all that stuff. Yeah, but yeah. Actually, no, that's great, because I'm actually going to take that little printout from you and take it and post it at the school, because we're now a dealer of Lightspeed headsets, and so when customers buy them, I want to say, hey, register, you can win this.
Yeah, and tell them they're giving away a $200 hamburger, and then you keep $300 for yourself.
No.
Hey, that's one way you can work it, man. I'm just saying. Just trying to save you a buck or two or get you a free burger. All right, more coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm ready to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. All right, Ed, I got a couple news stories for you that we have to delve into. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, one is about a new app that can improve your vision. Jay, you can't read as well as you used to. You have that problem.
Yes, I have
as
that problem.
As you look
problem.
Over at me and my cheaters.
Yes, I'm like, say, you have that problem too,
yeah.
So don't forget to include yourself.
Well, there's an app for that now.
There's an app for that.
Yeah.
Well, I got the iPhone 6. That helped me because I can have the text a little bit bigger.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah, we compared our text text size the other day when he got his new iPhone, and I was like, no, mine's the same. You just got more real estate to deal with.
Yeah.
So instead of, don't or doesn't or something, mine just has do. So it creates some problems for me. But evidently there's an app out there that will help you recondition the muscles in your eye.
Ooh.
Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
This has been a technology. I've actually looked at this before. I've seen it online, but now they have an app. What?
Okay. I'm trying to think of the app that helps you remember. Obviously, I don't use it. Luminosity. It's like a luminosity for your eyes.
Yeah, okay. I think so. I think it's the same kind of thing, because it is some kind of
I think I need both.
Yeah, good point. I think you're not alone there. But, the thing is, it is some kind of like a game type of deal that you do that supposedly works the muscles in your eye that if you do it enough, they claim that they can improve your vision.
I'm all for it. Where do I get one?
Well, I just downloaded it and I did the first
Is it an iPad app or iPhone app?
Yeah.
Is it a Mac?
I think it's for both. I think it's iPhone, Android, and the one that I'm looking at it was actually came out through the AOPA press release, and they had put it out actually it was General Aviation News is what it originally came out on it, but I got it on my AOPA email list. Glasses off. That's the one that I got. Glasses
right.
off, no space. And you can download this and then work and see if it works for you. Because, that is such a pain. I really hate the fact that, I have no problem seeing far away. So I can get beautiful vistas and all that kind of thing, crystal clear. But as soon as you put your hand in front of my face about a foot or a foot and a half away, forget about it. I can't read it, and it's very frustrating. And if that's my flight controls,
yeah, well, and,
that's a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I see it here. Yeah, get install. I'm downloading it right now.
There you go.
Well, the last time I went for my medical, I'm reading the board, no problem.
Yeah.
And then Doc Kovetz gives me the newspaper to read, and I'm like,
yeah.
So he takes the cheaters off of his head, hands it to me, puts one. I read it, no problem. He says, okay, you need a plus one. Go get him. Carry him with you.
Yeah.
So, I got to carry him with me where I'm flying now.
Do you ever figure you could cheat a little bit, and just like he gives you this, read this, and this say, Mary had a little lamb, and OJ, or, just make up something. or you know, just something right off the today's headlines.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think more? So. I don't think so.
No, hey, you could try it. I'm just saying.
You could
that
try
might
it.
Be another alternative. Probably
you try it.
Not an effective one.
No,
but it is frustrating, and you know, maybe this will be a way around it. You know, what for me, what happened to me, I had. Radio keratotomy. And if you don't remember what that was the precursor to LASIK.
I was going
to
say, you're showing your age.
Yes. And man, that was like a godsend.
Well, I talked to somebody the other day about the new LASIK surgery. They don't even slit the eye anymore.
What do they do?
It's a different type of laser they're using. And you know, I'm thinking 10, 15 years ago when they were slicing the eye, lifting the lid back, doing the...
That's what they did to me.
That's what they did to my wife. And
yeah. And
I was thinking about having it done. They gave us a video, a promotional video, so I started watching it. And at the end, they show us a procedure. And then about halfway through the procedure, I realized that was her eye they were showing me. Yeah. I was like, nope, I'm done.
You didn't like that?
I had no way, I'm not doing that.
I'll tell you what, that is one day in my life I will never forget. Getting up the day after, they gave me a Valium and made me sleep for 17 hours straight.
That's what you like about it.
Well, that wasn't bad. But I got up and I wiped the gunk from my eyes and I look in the mirror and it was like, hallelujah. You know, I mean, I could see. I was
and
like, oh my God.
And then you said, who the hell is that old fart?
Yeah, I was like, man, you are a handsome dude.
Obviously, they corrected to the wrong direction.
Okay, that wasn't even funny.
But, I thought it was.
You know, the thing is it worked out really, really good for me.
Yeah.
And I can still see great far away today.
Mm-hmm.
But up close, you know, trying to read, yeah, it started going a couple of years ago. And now it's extremely frustrating, especially when you're trying to read or, you know, like when I'm doing my flight training. You see me in the plane, I had to figure out what was going to be the best combination of sunglasses and bifocals and or just going back and forth from one or the other.
Yeah.
There are
stipulations for getting the LASIK surgery done nowadays for pilots. There's a wait time where you can't fly. I think it's like 30 days or something.
Well, I don't even know if you can get it for reading.
Well, I don't think you can get it for reading.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you got to choose one or the other.
What do you mean?
Well, you can correct it for one, but not the other.
Well, I read something about like they do one eye and then that compensates or something. So they fix one eye and then your brain figures.
Adjusts, yeah.
But that screws up your depth perception.
Yeah, which a pilot couldn't do.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
So
they do the same thing with the multifocal contacts. They can put one contact in that's multifocal that is designed for the close up and one for the distance, but it would throw your distant vision off.
Yeah.
And so that what I've read is that if the pilot's going to do multifocal, they got to put both multifocals in on both sides.
You have to implant a third eye and it just is a
but
mess.
Back to the app. There have been things like this over the years that a lot of pilots have done, and you'll see it posted on pilot airline pilot websites and you know it'll be passed down through there, a lot of different eye exercises. So this is just a new way to do it, a new format to do it.
Yeah, it's not really new technology. It's been out there. Like I said, I saw it on the web and wow, I saw it. Well, how it was described to me was that, you know, it's the muscles in your eyes. As you get older, they get stiff and inflexible, just like the rest of us.
Like my knees.
Every
like
other part.
Fingers.
And you have to exercise them. And this is a tool that you would use to exercise the muscles in your eyes. And, you know, I don't know if it can, I don't know how much of a success it can be, but they, you know, it claims in this press release like 90% success rate. Well, I don't know if that's
true or not, it helps but. It from slipping further.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't think it would hurt.
I mean, eyesight to a pilot is very important.
Oh, of course.
You know, and so that anything we can do, just like we were talking about the third class medical going away.
Yeah.
Anything a pilot can do to help keep themselves healthy and. You know what the AOPA is suggesting in that an education program for pilots to eat better and take care of themselves to avoid physical conditions, and they think that's way more important than going through that third class medical every 2 years.
True.
And so this goes a lot right along those lines about improving your health so you don't have to worry about your medical or. Hopefully not have to have a medical here very shortly.
Yeah, and if you didn't have to wear glasses, that's less of you have to cover up. And God knows you don't want to cover up this moneymaker.
Yeah.
Haven't been making a lot lately. Anyway.
BS factor is climbing now.
All right. Well, moving on to some other stuff.
Okay.
And I brought this up before.
It's got to be drones.
It wasn't drones, but it's not far from it.
Okay.
Electric planes.
Yeah.
They're saying this is now the future. And I said this a year or two ago. I
actually have talked recently about this to a group that's working on all electric training airplane. And with battery technology going to where it is, it is now very rapidly becoming feasible. And it will have multiple batteries in it, and depending, of course, they weigh a lot.
Yeah.
So depending on the length of your mission, how many batteries you can carry. You know, if it's just you alone on a solo flight, you'll take all three batteries, and it can fly 2 or 2.5 hours.
Okay.
You know, if it's a dual flight with you and me on board, yeah, we're gonna get a one battery flight. You know, so there is still weight issues with it.
Yeah.
But they're rapidly approaching that.
So short flight, especially for training, going up and flying the pattern, this would be an ideal tool, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the thing that I was talking to Mike Long, one of our sales guys from Cessna, and he was really saying, you know, you think about it, your operating cost is significantly less. There's less to break down. There's less to maintain. I'm like, I like that.
Win-win. All right. We got to do that and get our eyes fixed, and we're good to go.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
To know me is to fly with me. This is where I live.
Fly away, fly away. As a bird, take us away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Flight Training Professionals. Okay, so yeah, I didn't bring up drones. Yet. That was on the list because I did see a really cool YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it wasn't a drone. It was actually what could be the next evolution of personal flight. Because what these guys have done, I think they're across the pond in the UK someplace.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taken one of these drones, you know, like these quadcopters, and put a person on it. They've taken,
really?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, the quadcopters, right?
Yeah,
that you're seeing all over.
I didn't think they could lift that.
Well, what they did, they moved two of the blades closer, like where they were overlapping.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all calling it like a quadcopter bike or something. They're riding it like a bike, you know, like a hovercraft you'd see on Star Wars or something.
Okay.
So it's long and narrow, but there's four blades, and you know they say it's going to be, you know, it's more technology geared, you know, like a quadcopter with elements of a helicopter, but better and safer. Can fly higher than a helicopter and maybe faster too. I don't know. But you know, you have to lean forward, you know what I'm saying, to get
kind of like that thing we tried down at the NBAA, that little wheelie thing. It was like a Segway, but it wasn't a Segway. It was new. It had no handle on it.
Well, yeah, but this flies.
I know, that's what, but I'm just saying, we leaned forward, we went forward, we leaned back, we went back.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how they're working the controls, if the guy is, you know, sitting on top of it working the controls. I assume he is. I mean, because that's you're flying this quadcopter.
Well, as far as bringing the thrust up to get you into the hover, but then as far as going forward, you know, there's got to be some kind of gyro stabilization as you lean forward, because otherwise it'll tip over.
Yes, I would think so. Or you have to keep your balance like you're on a bike. Maybe that's the bike part of it.
Maybe.
I don't know. Which kind of brings us to this other news story. The headline is, General Aviation Safety is Improving as NTSB Targets Loss of Control. And when I think about this concept of a flying bike or quadcopter,
there's a good chance of losing control.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You know, we have enough problems in our fixed-wing aircraft. I would imagine, you know, flipping this thing over might be a lot easier than in a fixed-wing aircraft. I don't know, just looking at it. What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but by your description, yeah.
Maybe.
I think there's got to be some pretty high-tech to keep it stable. And you know that's one of the things that when they started building helicopters, they had a problem with figuring out how to make them stable.
Right.
And that's where this little quadcopter comes in. Is you don't have a tail rotor with having four rotor blades. It's making it a more stable device, and that's what making it easier for people to maneuver them and fly them. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a helicopter design like that, and there probably has been in the past, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see helicopters designed like that in the not-too-distant future.
Hmm. So you like the idea is what you're saying.
Yeah.
But what is this loss of control press release that we see? They're targeting loss of control.
They're targeting you, Greg.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say?
Because when you fly, you're pretty much out of control.
Okay. Well, point taken.
I couldn't resist. I had to go there. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about is they're talking about using technology in a way to help pilots avoid situations where they can lose control. What we're talking about is low speed, high angle of attack situations, like on climb out, or in landing, or in steeper turns where the airplane is nearing that critical angle of attack.
Okay, so stalling.
For stalling and spinning.
Spinning out.
You know, and if you don't stall, can you spin?
If you don't stall, can you spin?
You didn't know if you quiz today, did you?
Well, no, but I'm just thinking, yeah, you could make it spin if you want. You can't make a plane spin?
Well, you can make it spiral, but you can't spin. For a spin to occur, both wings must be in a stall. One wing is in a deeper stall than the other, and that's what causes the rotation.
Okay.
So if we don't stall, we can't spin. We maintain control of the airplane. We don't lose directional control.
Well, I understand, but all those acrobatic airplane guys are there.
They do it on purpose.
Right.
We're talking about unintentionally doing it.
Okay.
On climb out, over off of runway 7, you know, we don't want you to end up in the lake by doing a spin.
What we're saying is that some pilots could spin an airplane, but me, no.
Everybody can. It's a difference between intentionally and unintentionally. And what this article is talking about, and what AOPA is pitching here, is the use of some really neat technology that is now coming down drastically in cost, specifically the angle of attack indicators.
Okay,
I've got a couple customers that have these installed in their airplanes. Mm-hmm. And if the airplane is nearing that critical angle of attack in a various whatever phase of flight, it will send alert to you. And as you get closer, the lights turn yellow, and then as you get closer, they turn red, and then there is an audible warning as well.
Well, that's what the stall horn is, isn't it?
Well, it's going to happen before the stall horn.
Okay, so it gives you more warning than the stall horn.
And there are a lot of times where pilots are thinking only about their speed. You know, we know that the airplane can stall at any speed as long as we exceed the critical angle of attack. So if we have a device measuring the airplane's angle of attack, and the angle of attack being the imaginary line of the chord line and the relative wind and the relationship, then we know that if we're able to keep it lower than the critical angle of attack, the airplane won't stall. Now, jet aircraft have been using this for years. They have angle of attack indicators on them. And they can do that because there's no prop wash. The jet has a clean airflow on the fuselage that is the relative wind, so they just put a little vane out there that measures the angle of attack of the wind in relation to the chord line.
Okay.
And it represents itself in an indicator in the cockpit.
Got it.
And with some audible warnings and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the GA airplane, we got the prop in front of the airplane and all that airflow coming, and it disturbs the relative wind. So they put these indicators out on the wings, and it gives some really good angle of attack information, and it can increase safety.
Well, the NTSB is going to focus on it more, so that sounds like a good thing to me. And we'll have to leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.